More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. June is Elder Abuse Awareness Month. It's a time to set aside to help the 1 in 10 Americans who are over the age of 60 who are targeted by elder abuse. And some estimates say that fewer than 1 out of each 24 cases of abuse are ever even reported. Now, the Nampa Family Justice Center is working to raise awareness about elder abuse, as well as connecting people to resources to stop this exploitation. On Friday, the center is holding its third annual Lean on Me Walk and Resource Fair. Alyssa Gruen, the Assistant Program Manager of the Nampa Family Justice Center, as well as Elder Advocate Patrice Harris, are joining us now to talk more. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Hi.
Thank you.
Alyssa, let me begin the conversation with you. How long has the center been working with victims of elder abuse?
So in 2011, we got an abuse in later life grant. And so from that grant, we were able to focus on elder abuse victims. And we have just continued that work since then. We've seen a major increase in victims that we're working with. And so we've actually had to hire on more staff to specifically work with our elder victims.
So, Alyssa, it sounds like it's been more than 10 years. You said 2011. Can you talk a little bit about what you've seen in that time in regards to elder abuse?
Yeah, we see several different types of abuse. We see physical abuse. We see financial abuse. We see sexual abuse. We see the psychological and emotional abuse. A lot of times those co-occur. And really, any of them is devastating for an older adult.
Mm. So, Alyssa, are the abusers strangers, or is it more often, you know, family members that prey on these trusting individuals?
We often see that relationship of trust. So it's a lot of times family members. A lot of times it's maybe their new best friend that has somebody that's befriended them. We see grandchildren, we see caregivers. What we see more with the strangers is that financial exploitation where it's more of a scam. That's when a lot of times it's a stranger. But in most cases we're dealing with, it's somebody they know.
And Patrice, let me bring you into the conversation. You're an elder advocate. Why did you decide to get involved in this type of work?
Well, I've talked with elders and hearing their plight and decided there's a great need, especially with the growth of the Valley with elders. And as you know, a lot of that growth are older people that are retiring in our area. And as they speak to you, they sometimes don't even realize the abuse themselves. And so it's really an educational thing. Oftentimes they tell me that they feel invisible in the community. And oftentimes, as you were asking Alyssa about family members, a lot of them are possibly elders and they have children move in that take advantage. And they don't have the heart to say, no, you can't live here. And they take the abuse because of an embarrassment, afraid to tell anybody. And there's just so many different abuses that go on within the family members. I would say not the majority, but a good amount. But we're also seeing AI problems. We're also seeing love scams that are being, a lot of our elders are actually been taken advantage. We had a client that just lost $250,000 due to a love scam. So we're seeing various different things within the society here in our community.
So, Patrice, you mentioned that a lot of times the elders don't even recognize that this is abuse going on. Can you talk a little bit more about that and what you talk to people, you know, over, as we said, over the age of 60 when it comes to this type of abuse? I found that very interesting. That you said, you know, sometimes they're not even aware of it, because I think when we use the term abuse, we think of, you know, we think of domestic abuse, right? We think of physical abuse, or we think of something that someone would say, well, of course this is happening and this is not okay.
Well, oftentimes when that is the case, it's usually with family members. And as you know, with domestic violence and abuse, it's normalized in the home until the person that has been abused gets out and about and realizes that's not normal. It is the same with our elders, that same power and control that has over them. And they don't know a different. They don't know that family members don't do that. I remember going to a presentation and we talked about the different forms of abuse, and right within the audience, they said, well, that happened to me, and someone else, that happened to me, and this happens to me, and this is normal. I didn't realize that I could do anything about it. And they just feel helpless and thinks that's the, they just think that's the way it is and there's not much I can do. They also have the fear of being believed. Because usually abusers will, what we use the term gaslighting, telling them things like, oh, you forgot about that. You don't remember that. You're just getting old. And they start to question themselves. And then that makes them shy away from that. And then they get isolated. And then the abuse continues worse.
So, Alyssa, with everything Patrice just talked about, how then can seniors try to get out of situations like this? I mean, where do they go to ask for help? Who do they turn to and trust?
Well, they can definitely come and talk to us at the Justice Center. We are connected to many agencies. So we have several agencies here within our, under the same roof that we can refer them to. We work with APS, we work with law enforcement, we work with, we have counselors, so if it's that the emotional and psychological abuse they've been dealing with, it's great that we can connect them to mental health. So we have a lot of services here. And so I would just highly recommend if somebody is going through a situation or even if they're unsure, they can always give us a call and we can talk with them through that. And then again, if we need to refer them to somebody else, we will definitely do that.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa, can we talk a little bit about financial issues that happen in elder abuse? Because yes, this can be strangers, but this can be family members as well. Are there certain red flags that an older person should be looking for when it comes to the financial aspect of potential elder abuse?
Yeah, definitely. So just even in abuse in general, some of the red flags for elders is somebody who's isolated and not connected to support systems. So if they don't have that connection, people may not recognize like, hey, that's kind of weird. I haven't ever seen that, you know, that person with them. Or some of the other red flags is if they do have dementia or they have cognitive issues or starting to maybe forget things, they're more likely to be abused. And then also those that, you know, really depend on others to help them, to care for them, often they are at higher risk of abuse as well. With that financial exploitation, a lot of times we see that family member coming in saying, you know, I'm going to help you with your finances. And pretty soon they have taken over the accounts. They have put themselves on the accounts. They put themselves on the title of their vehicles, maybe the house. They've also maybe changed wills. So it's really important that people have those social connections and letting people know what they want their older adult years to look like. And, you know, who do they trust?
It's important that we keep eyes out there too. And that's where a church community, a social community can be able to have eyes and ears and look for these things.
And Patrice, I would think too that it's important not to just help elderly people, you know, regain maybe some of their independence or help them get the help that they need if they're in a situation like this. But what about their dignity? How important is that piece of this puzzle?
And that's where a lot of our elders struggle because they do feel embarrassed. And I was smarter than that. I know better. Or I just feel worthless. Or their self-esteem is just rock bottom. or I am 75. How am I going to recover from this? And there is a recovery, and we can assist and give their dignity, give them their voice back, and be able to heal and go forward. Many times it's complicated family relationships that we may have to assist with, but there is always hope if they can reach out. Oftentimes we get calls from loved ones that are concerned about their elders and asking for advice. And we always encourage them to have that elder give us a call, come in and let us talk about it and give that hope and healing back to them if possible.
And Alyssa, can you talk to us about your upcoming event on Friday, the Lean on Me Walk and Fair?
Yeah, so we will be starting at 11 o'clock at the Nampa Family Justice Center, and we will be walking down to Lloyd Square. And at Lloyd Square, we will have a couple survivors that will be talking about their story. And we are going to be having a hot dog lunch. We're going to play some bingo. And then we have a resource fair for seniors. So our hope is really that seniors come out to at least to the fair. If they can't join us on the walk, just come to Lloyd Square. We have several different resources we want to hand out. We have a free hygiene bag for all our older adults that we want to give them. But really just want to raise awareness about this issue.
Everything's free.
Yep. And everything's free.
And my understanding is you will also have a couple of survivors of elder abuse on hand, right? To tell their stories and, and talk about that.
Yes, they will be sharing their stories. And we, so one of the things we have here is a voices group. And so that's made up of several of our older adult survivors, and they do a lot to give back to our community. They run booths, but they also are willing to speak and share their stories. So they will be there as well.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much for taking time to talk with us about this. Really appreciate your time and giving all of us some awareness about this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Saturday marked World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. It's a time to set aside to help understand and prevent elder abuse, and to also focus on how to help those at greatest risk. In fact, according to the Department of Justice, 1 in 10 people who are over the age of 60 has experienced elder abuse, and more than $28 billion, yes, that's with a B, is lost every year to elder scams. So here to tell us more about those scams, and especially about the warning flags to watch out for, or John Yarrow, Securities Bureau Chief with the Idaho Department of Finance. I want to welcome you to the program.
Great to be here, and thanks for having me.
So financial scams and exploitation are a huge part of elder abuse. Can you talk about some of the scope of this problem?
Listen, I mean, this is a massive problem overall, and it's only grown in the digital age. I mean, overall, right now, we see what's reported, right, is about $36.5 billion annually in losses to seniors overall. And I like to divide them into a few different areas. I think the first area that you have is known exploiters. These are your caregivers, your family members, the friends that exploit somebody via the trust that they've built with them. And then on the other side of this, we really have the fraud side, which is really the intentional deception for unfair or unlawful gain. So these are a lot of the scams that you'll hear about, such as your government imposter scams, where somebody pretends to be a government official saying, hey, you need to give me money for this or else you'll be arrested. You have your romance scams where somebody comes into somebody's life and kind of fills that void. And I like to call these, really just trust scams overall, because it could be a family member. It could be something from a social perspective. I mean, it could be somebody from a love interest area, but overall, it's somebody gaining your trust and saying, hey, I'm a friend, a confidant, and taking your money. Then you've got family emergency scams, right? Where somebody says, hey, your grandchild is in the hospital right now, needs money. Send us money immediately. We have the lottery sweepstakes scams, and those continue to happen because they work. And now more and more, we're getting the tech support scams that are coming through where somebody says you have a virus or something on your computer like that. You need to give us money to fix it in some way, shape, or form. And meanwhile, they're just either stealing personal identifying information or infiltrating your computer with malware or something else.
So, John, let's talk a little bit more about some of these scams. And things like, as you mentioned, the kind of, hey, if you don't do this and give me money, you know, you're going to be arrested and go to jail type of thing. That can be very scary and overwhelming, I think, for anyone. And in fact, anecdotally, about a month ago, I got a phone call, someone pretending to be from the Boise Police Department, saying that there was a warrant out for my arrest because I had not shown up for jury duty. And I had quite the nice little conversation with them because I was like, yeah, because the things that they said about, you know, yeah. I think one of the things that they said was, well, we sent you a subpoena. And I'm like, you don't subpoena people for, you know, for jury duty. And you don't like show up at knocking on my door for jury duty. You just send it in the mail. Right. With all of that said, a lot of people, I think the majority of people, don't necessarily know how certain things like that work. So do you see some of those scams and people falling for them? And I ask all of this because I think sometimes there's this idea of, well, how could you fall for a scam?
Yeah. And listen, we need to throw out that mentality right away, because one thing we know about these scams is that they are really underreported. And a big part of mm-hmm. that is this sense of shame that's been built around. I always tell everybody, anybody can be scammed, right? A lot of people watch Shark Tank and Kevin O'Leary, right? Mr. Wonderful's on there. He was a part of the FTX scam, right? That was mm-hmm. happening and everything else. So it doesn't matter how sophisticated you are. We can all fall for this at some level. And there are some key pillars that really do come into a lot of the senior type frauds and scams mm-hmm. that we see. I'd say one of them, first off, is unsolicited contact, right? Somebody reaches out to you out of the blue for no real good reason. And when you think about why they're reaching out to you, parts of their stories don't make sense. But what they try to do a lot of the time is create intense pressure on people, right? These scammers know how to create a sense of, you need to do this now or else. And if the person were to take a step back and be able to think rationally, they'd recognize something's wrong. But what they're really good at doing is making you think irrationally. So taking that deep breath, taking that thought can really save you a lot of times. And I'll say this, in the financial space, one thing that really sticks out is alternative financial products. Just like you're saying with subpoenas and things that didn't make sense, when somebody's asking you to give them the code on a prepaid card, I have yet to see a vendor anywhere that wants that I'm really, that's going to be used for some governmental purpose or for some other thing, to pay a fine or to pay my taxes or something along those lines. It doesn't make sense. Same thing with cryptocurrency a lot, where people get caught in scams saying, hey, send me this in crypto, when at the same time, they know, again, they can't pay their taxes in it or something else along those lines. Understanding that somebody is trying to push you to an alternative financial product. So think of something outside of traditional cash or checks or ACH payments. That's really a key pillar to a lot of these scams. And it separates the investigative trail and makes it easier for these criminals and scammers to avoid being caught overall. It creates levels of anonymity and pseudonymity that protect them.
And John, I think some of them just most awful ones are romance scams, because so many older people, you know, they've lost their partner or their spouse, and they are sometimes lonely and they do want that companionship, and then they are preyed upon about this. So again, how do you know if it's possibly, you know, you're being scammed or you, on the other hand, are potentially creating a relationship?
Yeah, a lot of times these scams are very sophisticated in that they are very good at, again, building that trust. But anytime somebody that you haven't met is asking you for some level of money or to participate in investment, for a lot of people don't recognize that investment scams are the number one form of cybercrime right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of that has to do with a very specific scheme that we're seeing right now called pig butchering, which is kind of a mix of an investment scam meets a romance scam meets cryptocurrency. And essentially what happens is that they're really good at starting these conversations and not asking victims now for anything for the first week or 2 weeks. But they always find ways really not to be on camera or to meet in person. They're always pretty elusive overall. And there's a good reason for that, because eventually they don't want to be caught on the other side of this. So something we really say for these romance scams and others is, if somebody doesn't want to meet or somebody doesn't want to be on camera with you in some way, shape, or form, and you can't feel them in a tangible way, then there's a good chance that there is a scam happening right now. Mm. And you need to put that into your psyche as you go, even if you feel like you're building a deep emotional connection with them. And then at some point, when these people either ask for money because they're in need, or they present you with an investment opportunity, say, hey, we can get really rich, we'll do this together, come to this website with me, alarm bells should be going off due to them being relatively elusive overall. I think that that's a really important thing. And this is also something for, as people age, that's important, is not to self-isolate in any way. Be out there, be in the community, talk to people, because a lot of people fall for these scams as due to loneliness a lot of times. And that's something that we all need to be aware of as we grow older and people start coming to us and we're looking to engage with people. Yeah.
So, John, I know you put a list of red flags together for what folks should watch for, especially for family members, maybe of aging seniors. So can we jump into some of those? Because one of them is, okay, so one of them is, if someone new has been added to your loved one's bank account.
Yeah. So as we go through these, I look at it from three key signs, and, you know, I'll go through these just quickly. You have changes to financial and legal documents, behavioral signs, and financial activity signs. And what we're talking about here is really financial and legal documents. The idea that somebody new is being added, why are they being added to this account? We need to understand what their purpose is. Are they there? Are they able to transact on behalf of somebody else? Are they just somebody who's able to observe what's happening on the account? These are very different types of authorities on accounts. And as you add new people, how did this person come to know them? We need to start asking those questions, because they are telltale that something may be wrong and somebody may be using money from an elder who has earned that over the course of their life and be able to use it for their own personal purposes. And I think the real crime for it, senior financial exploitation, is it really is a crime that deprives people of economic freedom overall. And the way to take away their economic freedom is to get on these legal documents, to get on these financial accounts. And that's really a key part of any type of exploitation that occurs.
So, John, how do folks, I guess, find these red flags, right? Is it just a question of making sure that you, as a family member or a loved one of a senior citizen, that you just stay in touch with them? And you're a part of their life.
Yes, that is a huge part of it. You know, making sure you have things. There are certain things that we have in place. You know, for example, at financial institutions, they have things called trusted contacts. This is something that we always ask people to put on their accounts. So essentially, you can go to your bank or your brokerage firm and say, hey, I want to add somebody to my account, but they have no authority to transact on your behalf. They can just be on there to see. So say, you know, your elderly father or mother makes a friendship, but you're on the account. And then all of a sudden you see them added to the account. Now you can go and ask your parent, hey, why is this person being added to the account? Why are they authorizing transactions or something along those lines there? So it's really important to have outlets like that. And, you know, family's one area. Obviously, some people don't have families that they're in touch with, but that's also where being a part of local groups and people in your community and people that are trusted within the community is really important. Having somebody to talk to, having trusted contacts and people like that on accounts that can't transact on them but can observe if something is wrong, is really helpful and something that we'd really like to see more people do.
John, can you tell us what active listening is and why it's important to keep your loved ones safe from these types of scams?
Yeah. So, I mean, active listening at the end of the day is really withholding your opinion a little bit and allowing somebody to tell you kind of what they're thinking, taking it all in. And I think that's really important here, is not making people you know, feel uncomfortable, understand where they're coming from, making yourself somebody that can be, you know, trusted in their life, you know, listen to what they have to say. And I think that's really important for when schemes and scams pop up, because by being an active listener, you can also pick up on little things in somebody's life and say, hey, you know what? That doesn't make sense. Wait, why are they talking about, you know, maybe some type of purchase on their account that you're like, huh, or taking out a new loan or purchasing something like cryptocurrency, which can be very volatile. And somebody may be like, okay, well, I hear all of that and I understand where you're going, but hey, how did you get into this? I think that that can help you identify scams, and it just builds trust with the people around you. And I think it's really important because people leave clues as they're being scammed or being exploited. So it's important for us to listen for those clues.
So, John, before I let you go, what should someone do if they find out that maybe they have been targeted for one of these scams, or their loved one has been targeted?
So it's really important, and I'm going to say this, it is really important to report it as soon as possible. And I know that that's always, you know, one of those things that said, but please report it to me at the Idaho Department of Finance immediately. You can contact us at finance@finance.idaho.gov. You can also call us at 208-332-8000. We want to hear about it because really when it comes to these scams and the money moving, the quicker we know about it, we have an ability to do something about that. The longer it takes for us to get that report, we can't do anything about it. But I will say, report it to the Idaho Department of Finance, because we've been building out our financial crimes and intelligence unit, and we've been focusing on elder crimes and scams. And that's something that we're actually looking to help with criminal cases and on the civil side, just getting money back for people. But additionally, also report it to law enforcement and report it to you know, any other type of protection group like the FTC and others for identity theft. But please make sure you get it to the Idaho Department of Finance, because we will help investigate that. We'll help get it to the right partners to enable them to do that. And again, you can reach us at finance@finance.idaho.gov. And you can also call us at 208-332-8000.
Well, John, thank you so much for your time today to talk with us about this information. Really appreciate it.
Now, thank you. And again, we're sorry to see anybody get hurt by these crimes, but please report it to us. We want to help you, and time is of the essence.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.